Will Harry die? No, there's no spoiler here. That's the question many Harry Potter fans are fretting over while they wait for J.K. Rowling's latest book, Deathly Hallows. And when the book comes out, many readers will start with page one, but other fast-fingered fans can't wait to know Harry's fate and will read the ending first. Are you a spoiler? If you know the ending of the Deathly Hallows, please don't tell us. We have a finger on the dump button and we're not afraid to use it. But if you are the type to begin from the ending of any book or movie, or have had someone spoil the end of something for you, give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can comment on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Mystery novel writer Allifair Burke has had a few fans confess to flipping to the back of her books first. Her fourth and latest novel is Dead Connection, and she joins us from member station WFMT in Chicago. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Rebecca.
So, considering all the thought that goes into making a plot, you know, go on from the beginning, the middle, to its end, why do you think readers skip to the end?
They want to know what happened. And, you know, if it bothers a writer, they kind of need to get over it, because the great thing about reading, as opposed to television or film, is that the reader ultimately does control his or her own experience over reading a novel. And that's true in the obvious ways that the reader's imagination provides an image of the characters and the setting and all of that. But it's also true for pace. For example, I've found myself reading books very quickly to know what happens, to get to the end, to have that payout with the plot. And that's not how a writer intends it. We selfish writers want the reader to curl up for hours upon hours and preferably in a recliner or a hammock and right. Take their sweet time and enjoy every little word. But any reader who's skipped over all of the beautiful prose and all of the character development just to find out what happens is making that choice for themselves. And I see nothing wrong with skipping to the very end, finding out, you know, the ultimate payout. And then if that allows the reader to experience the novel more meaningfully when they start from page one again, then so be it. That's probably actually truer to the writer's intent than skipping over all of it.
As long as they do go back to page one again, I mean, to some degree, what's the point if you know what happens?
With a good book, knowing the end shouldn't ruin the book. I was thinking about this. Think of Wizard of Oz, right? Whether or not you know Dorothy gets back to Kansas or not, sure, that's what Wizard of Oz is entirely about. But even if you know the ending, and I guess I won't spoil it if there are people out there who've never seen or read Wizard of Oz, but even if you know the ending, it's really about her journey. It's how she gets there or doesn't get there and the people she meets along the way and the things that she has learned. And so if it's a good book, knowing the ending shouldn't spoil it at all. If anything, it might actually allow you to take your time and experience the book perhaps more like the writer intended it.
It seems to me the best books sort of catch you in that 22 where you're desperate to know what happens, but part of you really doesn't want it to end because you're enjoying the journey so much.
I think that's every writer's goal, is to keep the pages turning, but to make the book so important and so enjoyable for something other than its plot that the reader will take the time and intentionally slow herself or himself down so that they can not only know what happened, but to see how it all fits together and to get to know the characters and to see the evolution of their stories. And that's the best compliment I've ever gotten as a writer, is when people say, I found myself rushing and I had to force myself to slow down because I didn't want it to be over, but I also wanted to get to the end. So that's always the challenge, is to accomplish both.
Let's hear from Anne and Eugene. Anne, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi.
Hi.
So a little background. I found out that a friend of mine peeks at Christmas gifts, and then that evolved into reading the ends of books first.
And this is the same friend?
I asked her, do you peek at Christmas gifts? And she hesitated, so I knew because she hesitated that she did, because anyone who didn't peek would have immediately said, no, I don't peek. And so I found out that she reads the ends of books, and she has been complaining for a long time that she cannot remember what happens in books after she reads them. And so I loaned her a copy of The Golden Compass, and I stapled the last chapter shut. And I put her 16-year-old son in charge of monitoring and making sure that she hadn't unstapled it, read it, and restapled it, you know. And so that was one of the first books that she had read in years where she had not read the end, and she loved it. It was difficult for her, but she really loved it.
And so is she a convert now? Is she going to stay away from the end of books, or is it too hard a habit to break?
Well, she read The Subtle Knife, which is the next in the series, and she didn't read the end, so I think maybe we have a cure.
Excellent. And thank you for that tip. A rather drastic tip, stapling your books. I suppose you have to not care about the holes it leaves behind, but ultimately probably worth it if you get to enjoy the book more. This is Amy in Iowa City. Amy, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hello.
Hi.
Are
you an end reader?
I'm sorry?
Are you an end reader?
Oh, no. I'm someone, I think I would say it is sacrilegious to read the end before starting at the beginning. My mother is someone who reads the end of books first, and it drives me crazy.
Does she tell you what happens?
No, she's not that bad. And I'm also someone, I think, who's planning on locking myself in a room and reading Harry Potter from the beginning until I get to the end and try not to hear from anyone else until I'm done.
Good luck with that, Amy.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. It seems that serial books like Harry Potter are particularly this way because they're designed to be cliffhangers. Alla Fairberg?
I think that's right, particularly with series. You not only are getting to know the character's journey, but you know that it continues even beyond that last page. So you're not really cheating when you look at the last page because it's only the last page of that particular entry. I guess with the Harry Potter book, I'd say that's a separate phenomenon because I think even people who are not typical peekers might peek at this one because they want to have some control over finding that out, right? The big question of what happens to Harry, because I'm also going to try to lock myself in a room, but I'm doing a lot of travel these days and I'm scared to death I'm going to overhear it in an airport or on the radio by somebody who doesn't have their finger on a dump button. And so I might be tempted to peek because at least for that moment I control whether I know or not.
Right. And save yourself the heartbreak if something really tragic happens.
Exactly.
Here's Mark in Florida. Mark, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi.
Hi. You're on the air.
I just wanted to say, you know, reading the end of the book, I read the end of the book every time.
Really?
We're beginning. Yeah, because it doesn't ruin the story. It's no different than watching a rerun on television. The story is what keeps you captivated.
And have you ever been sorry that you knew the end?
No. I mean, before I ever read, for example, The Odyssey or The Iliad, you know, I knew the end of that beforehand, and who doesn't know the end of those stories? But, you know, they're still great stories.
So you're in the Wizard of Oz camp, that the ending doesn't necessarily ruin the journey.
Right, exactly.
All right, Mark, thanks for your call. I can't imagine knowing the end of a book before I read it, but apparently it's a more widespread phenomenon than I thought it was, because here's Alex in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah?
Hi, Alex, you're on the air.
Hi. I actually tend to read about the first 50 to 100 pages, and then I'll skip right to the end. To find out, you know, you get the beginning gets you pulled into the story, and then you read the end and you find out where they end up, which makes the trip of the middle third of the book that much more interesting.
So you do go back and read the middle?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, the ending is nothing without the plot.
And so have you ever regretted doing that?
No, not at once.
Thank you, Alex. Unrepentant Alex. Which, Alfred Burke, as someone who writes mystery novels, do you have the end in mind when you're crafting the story?
I do for the raw plot, I do. I know who did it and why and how the pieces are going to come together from an investigative standpoint, and I plot it out really carefully so that the pace is just right and keeps the reader going. But, you know, in terms of the things other than raw plotting, I don't always know how things are going to end. In my current book, Dead Connection, it was meant to be a standalone book where we would never see Ellie Hatcher again, who's a detective in New York. And when I got to the end of the book with the raw plot, I realized that her personal journey really wasn't done yet and that it worked better as one of those series books that we were talking about where you get a temporary closure to that passage of their life, but there's really more to be told about the person. So that really kind of caught me by surprise. So sometimes I guess I don't know the end.
Or I guess sometimes you end up writing 1,500-page books. I mean, that's the alternative, right?
To keep going. I'm too lazy.
Let's close the
chapter.
Let's hear from Catherine in Kansas City. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thanks.
Hey, I just want to say I am so glad someone finally understands why I read the end of the book. I get so much trouble from my family. But you cannot enjoy it if you are racing through the book to find out what happened.
And so knowing the end makes you relax and enjoy the ride?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I can actually read the words instead of just racing through page after page to find out what's going on. And I always read the whole book. It doesn't ruin it at all, but, oh, I get trouble from my family and my friends.
Has anyone ever stapled
my book shut? They're in trouble.
That was my next question. Has anyone actually come at your book with a stapler?
I've had people try to take my book apart, and that just doesn't go well. I go and buy another copy.
Catherine, thanks for your call. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And we're talking about how you read books, especially of the whodunit or serial variety. Are you someone who goes to the end of the book first and then goes back and reads the beginning? Or are you someone for whom that is sacrilege, as one caller called it? 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or send us email talk@npr.org. Let's hear from Cheryl in Redding, California. Hi, Cheryl. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi. The first time I've ever gotten through. My comment is that I have ADD, and I didn't find out until just lately. I'm 55 years old, and I've done a lot of research on it, and I've found out that people with ADD, we would race through the book. I've always read the end of things first, and then we can settle down, because we really want to know how things happen, but then our mind isn't racing ahead to 10 things so that you can't pay attention to what you're doing at the moment.
Huh. So have you found in talking to other folks with ADD that this is a common habit?
It's very common, actually. It's like reading books about adult children from dysfunctional families and the 10 most common things.
Huh.
It's been one of the. It is one of the more common things in adult ADD people, not people with hyperactivity, but people with attention deficit syndrome, which is a genetic disorder.
Cheryl, thank you so much for your call. Let's hear from Judy in San Antonio. Judy, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Well, thank you. This is absolutely fascinating because I thought I was the only one in the world who read from the end. But I read everything from the end, textbooks, mysteries, novels, everything. Then I read it from the beginning. Then I put the book down, and then I read it again. So I read it twice, and then that's standard for me if I know I want to keep it or not. If I don't want to read it the second time, I give it away.
And do you gain something from your second reading that you missed the first?
Yes, because it's like much more relaxed, and I can really enjoy the use of words and plot and characterization. And yeah, I enjoy it. I mean, that's the way I read everything.
Does it bother you that means right. You read fewer books?
Pardon?
Does it bother you that means you read fewer books because you're taking twice the time with them?
Books. I'm on summer break now, and I read a book a day. So, but like they're fiction, fiction books or mysteries or something, which is what I'm into. And so I can read a book a day and then read it again the next day.
All right.
I read a lot.
Judy, thanks for your call. And let's hear from Peggy in Columbus, Ohio.
Hi.
Hi, Peggy.
I'm outside hanging my laundry out, and I was just thinking, I work at a library here in Columbus, a very nice library, and I always read backward. I read magazines backward. It just seems natural. And I think maybe I'm a Judith. I don't know, but from the time I was little, I always read backward.
Huh. Well, magazines I can see. I have to admit to reading the New York Times Magazine backwards because I like that last page best.
Do you?
But if it's not a beginning, middle, and end, and you can sort of pick and choose what order you read it in, it doesn't necessarily matter.
What about the newspaper, like the Times? If you get it on Sunday, do you read it backward?
I read it piecemeal. I hop all over the place.
Pardon?
I hop all over the place. I read my favorite bits first.
Right, right. Well, I don't know. It just seems there's something different about a brain that reads. And I'll read front to back, too, but it's like a natural thing sometimes to read the opposite way, you know?
Okay. Thanks, Peggy. One last call. Mary in Madison, Wisconsin. Mary, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you. I also peek at the end of the book. I like the man that called before. I'll read a few chapters, and then I look. But when I was reading Deep End of the Ocean, where the child is kidnapped, I couldn't stand it. And I went to the end of the book. Well, somewhere in the book, the characters changed names.
Oh, no.
The little boy, of course, was kidnapped and was given a different name, and his brother took on a different name. And I read it, and I thought, who are these people? So then it forced me to read it with all that suspense.
You were thwarted in your effort to know the answer.
Yes, yes.
Oh, Mary, thank you for your call. And Alla Fairbrook, I don't suppose you're going to tell us the end of Dead Connection.
No, but I have learned so much because I had learned that the first paragraph has to really pull a reader in if they're going to buy your book, but now I know the last paragraph does too.
Alla Fairbrook is author of Dead Connection. She's been talking to us from member station WFMT in Chicago. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Neil Conan is back tomorrow. I'm Rebecca Roberts.